Welcome to Know That, a deep dive into the week's Real Housewives episodes, where we offer our humorous, insightful, and unfiltered opinions. I'm Anthony Casella.
I'm Donnie Hatfield-Smith.
And I'm Quentin Lamar.
And this is Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. Hi, we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Good. Can I tell my story about my wisdom teeth?
Please. Yes.
Oh my God, already? You're going to jump right in?
Okay. Yeah, I have to.
It's so scary.
So last week I told everyone that I was going to get my wisdom teeth out later that week. So the morning of, I had like 2 hours until it was time. And they hadn't called me and told me like what I needed afterwards, what medicine to get, what like foods to prepare for. So I was like, something doesn't feel right. So I called them and said, like, what do I need? And they said, we'll give you gauze and an ice pack. And they're like, okay. So I said, okay, thanks. And then hung up. And I was like, no, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. So then I called again. And then I was like, are you sure that's all I need? And they were like, yeah, you're fine. I said, will my husband need to like come with me to make sure I get home okay? Or I normally walk there. Will I be able to walk home? And they say, yeah, you'll be fine. So like, okay. And then hung up. And then I was like, that is wrong. Something's not right. So then I went on their Yelp page and there were like reviews upon reviews saying like, do not go to this man for your wisdom teeth. He'll find any reason to take them out. He just wants your money. And they don't put you under. They just numb your gums. If I would have been there.
No, that's fucking hell.
Yeah, it's like the one from Little Shop. It's terrifying.
Yeah, you really dodged a scalpel. I don't know, but thank God you didn't do that.
I know. So now I have to call around and get other second opinions or something. How was everyone else this week?
Well, actually, I stop myself from having an unnecessary appendectomy. So that's, we're in the same boat.
You stopped who?
Nothing.
What did you say?
I kept myself from having an unnecessary appendectomy.
Was that a joke?
Wait, really?
No.
He's
no,
trying to
it's because he, yeah, it just didn't go over. Do you both know what an appendectomy is, right?
No.
No.
Oh, God. It's when they remove your appendix. So I was just saying, like, you know, somebody was going to unnecessarily remove my appendix. Let's just keep going. My week was fine. I don't even know what to say now. I'm happy I didn't have to take care of somebody who unnecessarily had their wisdom teeth out. I'm grateful for that.
Oh, my God. But I bought all of the food to prepare for it. So I didn't get my wisdom teeth taken out. I had 2 half gallons of ice cream. I bought rice pudding. I bought macaroni and cheese and instant mashed potatoes. So now we have all this stuff that I don't need to eat, but I was planning on having no teeth.
You could still have that food.
That's true.
Well, and he did.
Gone.
And he did.
How was your week?
Between your close calls with wisdom teeth and your appendectomy, nothing is exciting. Nothing is exciting happened to me.
Elective appendectomy.
Elective. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have that much to report, to be honest.
Okay. I guess we can move on then.
Yeah, let's move on.
No news is good news.
I guess. Yeah, I have no like funny anecdotes for anyone. But what I do have is a plug to go support our Patreon. We are covering The Big Shot with Bethany. The first episode is out now. It's a fucked up show. Not the podcast, the actual program. The podcast is a little weird too, but just get on and go support us. It's www.patreon.com/knowthatpod. And there's all different tiers that you can choose from to support us. And go please pick one and do that.
Yes. Use your wisdom teeth.
Take a bite out of our content. Okay, let's get into New Jersey, where we leave off at Jennifer's Turkish tea party. Teresa has left, being the only one there without a mother. Her mother has passed away. Is too much for her, so she leaves. Not really a to-be-continued moment from my perspective, but they did it. The conversation then turns to Dolores's relationship and kind of the place that it's in, measured against the expectations that Dolores had for a timeline as to getting a ring, etc. And Jen reveals to the group, but to more specifically Dolores's mother, who Dolores had not shared this information with, that the psychic they all saw said that David wasn't going to be Dolores's soulmate. What did you all think of Jennifer's decision to reveal this information in mixed company? I guess meaning with the mothers, because the other women were there, but specifically to Dolo's mother.
I think Jennifer doesn't care what she says to people. But I also think, in her defense, this was something that was on camera. Like, we've talked before about sharing things that wasn't on camera, and that's where things get murky, and like, you should watch your back and careful what you say. But if it's on camera anyway, this information will be out there. So I don't think sharing it in mixed company is the worst thing.
I agree. I think if it's anything that is on camera should be considered fair game to talk about whenever and with whoever is also appearing on camera or has any kind of involvement with the show, because you have to assume they've already seen it. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But I also can see how, like, from a friendship aspect, it might not have been great to bring up. To be fair, I don't think that Dolores's mother probably watches a lot of the show. I don't think any of the mothers really do, probably.
That's true.
I see both sides of it, but I think technically, I don't think we can get on Jennifer for it because it did happen on camera.
Yeah, there are worse things to reveal on camera. And certainly this was the exchange between the psychic happened on camera. So it's not really an out of bounds situation. I think it's here, or it's probably later, but I put it here, so we'll talk about it now, where Dolores kind of compares her relationship, not specifically between David and Frank Sr., but I feel like there's a loose connected set of dots where she says, you know, David doesn't scream, he doesn't yell, he doesn't hit. And my kind of antenna went up, certainly with the hitting. And again, I don't know that she made a distinct line to Frank Sr., but it seemed like all but saying, this is different than my marriage to Frank. And that kind of, I don't know, that kind of stunned me a little bit, because if true, and I'm saying if because, again, it wasn't explicitly clear in the editing that that's what she meant or who she was referring to, it's definitely at odds with the character that is being edited for us, or who Frank used to be. But it was a little bit of like a, what was happening in that marriage, if true?
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think it was later on in the episode, because I remember Frank being in the room when she said it, and I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it must have been at the party.
Well, I can say, like, now Frank has a history of, like, drug abuse, right?
Yes, I think he was arrested for possession and intent to distribute cocaine, and I believe that's what got him disbarred.
Okay. I would say that I would believe that that could be something that they that happened in their relationship. I think the fact that she said it, because I don't know how many people knew about that. I mean, I'm sure people knew about it, but for her to say it the way she did, I feel like that's what made me feel like uncomfortable too. Not just because Frank was there to hear, but because, like, I felt like that meant she was in a very, like, volatile place to say something like that, like, openly in front of everybody. Like, they really did gang up on her about something that's none of their business, and I think she reacted to that way.
Yes,
that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. Okay, at the Turkish tea party, they get into a conversation about Jennifer's mother, who doesn't want to live apart from her husband, even though she can't seem to live with him, because she is worried about what people will think. And there are housewives and mothers in the group who have positive stories to tell about what living apart can do for your marriage. I think specifically Dolores's mom and Jackie's mom are advocating for separate homes. It made me kind of sad to hear Jennifer's mother admit to putting so much stake into what people say, certainly at this age. No, I mean, it just, I don't know. I would hope that, like, with age would come a fuck everyone, I'm doing what I want, but still she still seemed very much into keeping up appearances.
Yeah. What age do you choose yourself? Like, that's that.
I think it's a cultural thing. I don't really think it's to do with her age necessarily, because, you know, some people, like, even like at a young age or our age, some people care what people think about them and about their marriages and their relationships, and some people don't give a shit. And I don't think that really knows an age. I think she comes from a culture where your reputation was kind of like everything. You had to be impeccable, above reproach, and, you know, happy family. And they had to do that. And she doesn't know how to not do that after doing it for so long. I thought it was interesting that all of those women didn't live with their husbands. I was like, all of you, like, with the exception of Marge, who I don't think has a husband, everybody there who had a living husband was not living with him. So I was like, what does that say? Because, like, you think about all the marriages that, like, people, like, oh, half of marriages fail. These would be considered marriages that have succeeded. So how many, and my grandmother did not live with my grandfather up until his death. So how many successful, quote unquote, marriages still constitute people not living in the same home?
That's true. Normalized marriages where people don't live in the same home.
Or not married at all, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, whatever works for anyone.
Carrie Bradshaw was onto something with that separate apartment, I guess.
My gosh.
Oh, no, she wasn't.
What did we think of the scene at golf where Frank kisses Joe Gorga's ass?
Is this what straight people do?
I found it slightly uncomfortable and erotic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I loved it, but it's also...
I've been dying to see Joe Gorga's ass, so I was happy to see that, but...
it looked good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He works out. I mean, it's a little booty.
I feel like I could tell it probably smells like cologne.
Axe, probably.
Well, that's because Joe Gorga seems like the kind of guy who wears cologne to go to the gym.
Definitely.
Like, he's always wearing cologne.
So does Evan, if you know what I mean.
Ho, heyo. Yeah.
Too soon.
Not a lot to really say here, but Joe also lets everyone know that Teresa is in a new relationship and basically is in love with her boyfriend and that he likes him, which will turn out to be something that he shouldn't have done later, although no one really seems that mad at him. This maybe seemed like
it was cute. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, it was like sibling fighting, but not really. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's like when you tell, like, I'm a little brother, so, like, I know what it's like to, like, tell my older sister's business. Like, it was almost like you saying something you didn't really mean to say to your parents, and then your sister's, like, kind of like, did you tell them that? Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was, like, really cute.
Yeah, and I knew she wasn't mad, too, because her voice was really high. She was like, Joey, did you say that? Like, it was like, what's happening here? Right? Like, her voice goes Teresa really high sometimes. You telling people I'm in love? To make a hard right, I thought that the house Teresa saw with Michelle was
stunning.
Gorgeous.
I want it. Then they want to add an infinity pool. Please. Oh my God.
Incredible. Incredible.
They had me at that balcony. That balcony. I was like, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I was stunned.
The gay person in me was planning parties.
Yeah. And I say, I say only, but it's only $3 million.
It wasn't even that. It was 2.1.
I was like, this is doable.
Yeah. Exactly how much that bad boy cost.
Yeah, that looked good.
Yeah. And it has that basement apartment for Gia. It's just perfect.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a big improvement over the Sistine Chapel she lives in.
Yeah, it was so interesting to go back in time to 2009 and see her, like, moving into what she thought was her dream home then, and how, like, I guess as you get older, you just want simple. And by simple, I mean 2.1 million.
Or maybe she had money longer and now she has real taste, because I find her house a bit gaudy.
A bit gaudy. Oh my God.
I was trying to be nice. I felt the same way about Jennifer's. Like, there's a lot. This is a bit,
a bit much.
A bit nouveau riche for my taste. My broke ass.
I like Jennifer's a little bit more. There's something a little bit more modern, but yeah, definitely the same vibe as More is More.
Yeah, because it's like in certain angles, you didn't know where you were looking. It was like a palace or something.
Yeah, it was like a very expensive hotel lobby.
Like, put a rug down, damn.
Yeah.
a hotel lobby would have plants in a rug somewhere. It was just like open marble floor. It was like the doorway, the entrance to heaven. It was just very weird.
Very open. The centerpiece of this episode is basically a party that is being had at Michelle's home. Also a beautiful home.
Yeah.
Great for a party, where kind of a culmination of a few things happens at this party. We discussed Teresa kind of being like playfully mad that her brother is telling people about her relationship with her new boyfriend. Teresa eventually leaves for a booty call, but not before being kind of set up, or there's effort to set Teresa up with a gentleman whose name is escaping me, one of Michelle's friends, who I thought looked about 25, but it might be all the sleep.
I would say 35, but since Teresa's like close to 50, it looked like a big age difference to me. Like, he didn't look young. He just looked too young for her.
Yeah.
I liked how quick she cut him off because he said he slept.
Like, that was, she knew upon looking at him, and I respect anybody, and especially a woman, who knows, like, on sight, I don't want him. No, yeah. I don't want none of this. He didn't stand a chance.
I'm a night owl. All right, Tree. Poor guy.
I really liked Melissa this episode. I know that's controversial to say here, mm-hmm. but when Teresa wanted to leave and Melissa was like, "What color panties are you wearing? Show me your underwear." I loved it.
I liked how you could see them getting drunk in the yes. footage. Like, they all arrived and then like they were doing shots, they were drinking. Melissa was very much like, "You need a cocktail," and like grabbing people to the bar. Like Jackie, whose hair was already precariously styled in a big way, it just seemed to get bigger and bigger the drunker she got, which I enjoyed. It was fun. I wanted to be at this party.
It did seem fun.
I liked Jackie's outfit and her look. She was kind of like in Rocky Horror a little bit. You know what I mean?
But like going to see a performance of Rocky Horror.
Yeah, that was her dressing up to go watch the midnight screening.
Yeah, I can see that.
So the kind of last act of this episode, before she arrives, the fact that Frank has gifted Dolores with a Porsche, and everyone is talking about what this means. A Porsche costs just as much as a ring is something I did not know before watching this episode. Everyone else seems to know it like it's 2 + 2.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. If you get like a really real deal, like engagement ring or anything like that, that shit's expensive. Because like at that point, you know, after a certain amount of money, jewelry is an investment.
Yeah. So that everyone's involved. I think Michelle asks her weasel husband and he gives his input. Then Dolores and Frank get there, and somehow it is brought to Dolores's attention that everyone has been discussing this. And it is an understatement to say Dolo ain't happy. Mm. And she flips out. She gets into a little tiff with Joe Gorga. He calls her a broken woman because of her divorce with Frank. She calls him a Neanderthal. And then she storms out and demands that Frank go with her. Now, I had to dig inside myself to figure out how I really felt about this, because I love Dolo, but these women are on a show where they're asked to be honest about their feelings about the women that they are working with. While I wish that the women could just let Dolo live, laugh, love, and if she's happy with Frank for whatever reason, David, for whatever reason, all good. But if they are being honest about the way they feel, and the way they feel is not what Dolores wants to hear, I still have to like respect that they have the right to their thoughts and feelings. But I wish they would just kind of ease up on Dolo a little bit.
Yeah. I'm in a place with New Jersey where, besides Jackie, I like them all more or less evenly. So I don't mind when like tides turn against one person, because I know that we'll like find our way back to just like a circle, like a yin yang kind of.
Yeah.
Whereas like Potomac, there's people I clearly hate, people I clearly love. New York, same thing. But Beverly Hills, same thing. But New Jersey, they're just all my friends. So like this episode, we're a little dolo heavy with the like bad stuff to say about her. But I know next week we'll be good again.
Jesus. I think they should mind their own business. Not necessarily mind their own business. I get that they're supposed to talk about it, but they don't have to talk about it so much. I feel like there's not anything else going on, so they have to. And it is a situation that's like kind of weird. It's like, I'm going to stand here and say, I'm happy with this man. I'm happy the way this relationship is going. I keep my clothes here. I live there. I remodel this house. Me and my husband rebuilt that house. My son lives with them. I don't live with them. I'm mad at you. Ex-husband, let's go. Like, all of that is like very weird. You know, like it's, I get why they don't let it go, but clearly that's just Dolores. She wants her and Frank have this relationship, or it seemed to have this relationship where if they're not polyamorous, which I still think they are, if they're not, we're married for life. No matter what happens, you're always going to be my ex-husband. You owe me. You treated me like shit. So whenever I need you there as a stand-in for my boyfriend or whatever, a platonic friend, this is what you are. I'm just wondering, where is Frank's woman? Like, what happens when Frank gets a woman? I can't think of a single woman that would be okay with their relationship unless she's poly too. So I don't understand. I get why they do it, because I don't get it either. But after a while, I would just shut my mouth about it and talk about it behind her back.
I did like when Dolores left and she said, "Go fuck your fucking selves." That was like a good last line. And then demanding that Frank be quiet for 5 minutes when they got in the car. I like that. Why are you yelling at me?
And he was like, he just backed down, like, all right, you know, okay. You don't got to tell me not to talk.
This was a good episode, I thought.
Me too.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I've been loving all of New Jersey. Yeah.
So who hated Michelle? Was one of you hated Michelle?
Oh, I didn't hate her. I called her an 80s corporate villain, but she just didn't do anything for me.
How do you feel about her now after like seeing her more at this party and at her house?
I liked her
more. I know you don't like her husband.
Oh, the husband's like, yeah. I like Michelle more than I liked her when we were introduced to her.
Okay. I don't. But I was just wondering, like, there's something about her that I don't like. I don't know what it is yet. I'll find out. But this made me like her less.
Weird.
Oh. Yeah, I went from, like, disinterested to slightly less disinterested.
Still disinterested.
The house looked nice. If they made her a full-time wife, I feel like I would have been okay getting to know her a little
bit. We're going to need someone to replace Jackie next year. So why not Michelle?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They have two spots to replace. They should replace more than just Jackie.
And Melissa? Jackie and Melissa?
Honestly, because of the clearly Melissa going to All-Stars proves that that's not going to happen. I want that to happen, but it's not going to happen. I honestly think Dolores should go. I like Dolores, but I think she should go. I do.
Oh, that is fascinating. I feel like Teresa and Dolores are the stars of the show.
I agree with you.
Still agree with you, but I don't think Dolores is necessary for the show to still go on and be good. So if we keep Dolores, which I'm fine with, then Margaret has to go. One of them has to go.
Oh, honey, you know I'm fine throwing Marge to the curb.
Marge needs to go then. Somebody needs to go. They need to fill two spots. And that's that.
I'd be fine to see Jackie and Marge go.
Me too.
I'd be fine with Jackie going.
I like Dolores. I would like Dolores to come and play more. I feel like she kind of sits around a lot and she's not really involved in anything.
Dolores is our Cynthia, I think.
I guess so. Yeah.
I find her so watchable that I think I just get a kick out of even like what might be a boring scene to someone. Like when she was telling her son that she went and she was fine. I just like the way she carries herself in all situations. Like I'm biased toward Dolores, I think. But I understand that she is not bringing a lot, or it's a lot of the same beats. But I just love the beats.
I agree. I told Quinn before that Dolores reminds me of someone that like my mother would be friends with. And I think because of that, I really like connect to her.
Yeah, I feel connected to her.
That could be it, because that's how I feel about Portia. Like for me, Portia brings me joy. She reminds me of like my cousin or somebody that I would know. So maybe, I guess Dolores is your Portia. in that way. Because there is no boring Portia scene for me. Like, I don't care what you have Portia do. It's always going to be interesting and funny. She's always going to, it's always going to be something there for me to see.
That makes sense. We all have our wives that we...
Marsh can go.
Love that. Love that.
We can plug, she can plug a little book and then she can go.
Please. Bye, Marge. I have something for you later, Marge. That's going to do us in Jersey. I think, take us to Dallas, Donnie. Donnie does Dallas.
Here I am. So we start the episode with the second part of the murder mystery. And I'll say it again. I loved this murder mystery. I could have watched a full episode of it and not taken any, like, housewives plot. I could have just watched them play this game. Brandy rolling down the stairs was incredible. Them finding out that Deandra was the killer and then her stealing the gun and shooting all the employees.
It's great. Incredible.
She shot her way out. She shot her way out. What I love more is how she actually knew to like stand and brace herself and aim. That's a Texas girl. She knew how to use a gun. I was like, I'm here for it.
Deandra committed to that performance. She was great. It was great.
When she said, get down on the floor, I almost got up out of my seat.
We rewound it like 6 times.
It was good. I loved it. I thought, before we found out it was Brandy, I just assumed it was either a doll or a stunt double. And then to later learn that she was pregnant.
Right.
Shocking.
How much she drank and then throwing herself down those steps and she was 16 weeks pregnant. That is, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, that's some high school girl shit there.
That's old school stuff right there. That's like smoking cigarettes, drinking slow gin, and then working a whole day at the factory. That's America's greatest generation shit right there.
Our very own North Country.
That's how our grandparents were born.
So then with Deandra's performance, Carrie, I guess, wasn't enough of the spotlight for a second. So she pushes Deandra in the pool and Deandra isn't as upset as I would have been. But she does say, are you serious? My belt and my shoes, because she's wearing Oscar De La Renta while he was still alive. Is that what she said? Is Oscar De La Renta dead?
I'm not sure. Let's Google this. Oh, wait, I did Oscar De La Hoya by mistake. He is dead. He died in 2014.
Yeah, so the belt was made while he was still alive. So she's very upset, which leads to a conversation the next day. But before we get there, Carrie and Brandy, Jesus, are wasted. And first they climb into bed with Stephanie and Tiffany. And again, these are more people that aren't as upset as I would have been. They just like are annoyed but giggle. So then Carrie and Brandy go to find they go to find another room and they find the like set of where JR was shot. Brandy like somehow squeezes her way into the glass, but Carrie can't do it, so she tries to climb on a rocking horse, which I don't know why that was there, but she climbs on a rocking horse and the plexiglass breaks. So then she climbs over on a chair and they hang out on the set. How you were during the Bethany show, this is how I was watching that.
And that's also how I was during this too. This was anxiety inducing. I almost felt like, I understand it was all bad. What Brandy did felt more like if a little girl snuck into a candy shop and like slept on the floor. There was something a little more like, all right, this is shitty, but it's, I don't know, whatever. I don't know why I could like give her a pass. I'm not really, but it compared to Carrie, it just didn't hit me the same way. What was Carrie trying to do? Climb over the top?
I think so.
Awful.
This is repeat behavior from Carrie. And I, you know, in the past, I've criticized Carrie about, you know, the whole racial thing and her being a white woman. But at this moment, I was thinking like, well, you're a Mexican. And I feel like as a person of color, like there's certain things as people of color, you don't want to do because you don't want to get a label. And I feel like, wow, so maybe I was a little bit wrong. Maybe there is that aspect that I need to like keep in mind with her. Because I don't like that she is Mexican and that they're like telling her all this stuff about her behavior. But at the same time, she is doing it. But just like she triggered my color people protective thing. So I may have been a little bit quick to like just say, oh, she's a white woman, there's nothing there. So I had to reevaluate that, because I did not like them like telling the Mexican person in the group that you're destructive, you don't care about people's property, you drink too much, you're too crazy and all this stuff. And I'm like, that triggered me a bit. So, but it looks like we're going down the I have a drinking problem path that I thought Carrie was going to go down. So,
well, my question was, that sets up her plot for next season. Fine. Hopefully we don't have to see her next season. But if she's here, that is going to be her plot. But when Leanne was on our show, she told us that you have to pitch the producers what your plot is going to be the upcoming season, because Leanne told us she was like taking DJ classes or whatever. What did Carrie tell producers?
Anthony's reaction to that was gold. He could not keep that in. It just came out. Oh, what we lost.
Oh, yeah. We should have never lost Leanne. I mean, what a mistake. I need to lose Carrie. I can't do it anymore.
No.
I can't do it anymore. I could barely do it. I didn't really love her the first season.
If there's one thing she should know by now after this last summer, the one thing the white people can't forgive is property destruction. So she really needs to rethink that.
Well, then, yeah, if you were triggered by your being a person of color, I guess I was triggered as a white person, because this was my final straw with Carrie.
I was triggered as a soap opera lover. I did not like seeing, even though I have not seen a second of Dallas, I did not like seeing something, the disrespect toward a set. Right.
What made me the maddest in this episode, though, is that the woman in charge was so fine with it.
So like, sweet.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. There's nothing that can happen in the house that can't be fixed. I was like, Jenna, you didn't see this yet, baby girl.
And she's like, I want you to have fun. Brandy's like, we murdered someone. And Jenna's like, that's all right, honey.
JR was murdered in there.
So then the group at brunch the next day, the group comes for Carrie about her destructive behavior. Tiffany mentions in her confessional that she doesn't understand why everyone's just coming for her and not Brandy. But I think we already talked about that, that what she did was worse. And then I would have been, and I said this to Quinn when we were watching, I would have been pissed. Not that Carrie did it. Like, Carrie doing it was already annoying and made me angry. But now we have to talk about it at brunch the next day. Food was finished. So now we can't go have our jazzercise class. I can't get in that beautiful pool because we have to sit here and tell you how disgusting you are.
And they didn't even show the jazzercise class.
Right.
I'm thankful for that, but I wasn't interested in that at all. But I thought that, like, Donnie's absolutely true. But like I told you, Donnie, like, you wouldn't have to worry about going in the pool. Eventually she pushed you in.
So the husbands come for the Dallas party, and we find out that Carrie's husband is not coming. He's sick, not COVID, but he's not coming. My question is not about him not coming. My question is, there were already three people sleeping in one bed. Where are these four extra people going to sleep?
They must have gotten a hotel, right?
Oh, yeah, I assume.
Maybe.
That makes sense.
Were they just
sitting
for
even
the night?
Come up with that. We were literally trying to figure it out, and a hotel never factored into our possibilities of where they could sleep. So you're probably absolutely right.
And yeah, because I thought they all had luggage, but that could have just been their costumes, I guess.
I was like, maybe they're not staying over. Maybe they're leaving after this.
They could have done that, too. Maybe they didn't stay.
Oh, yeah. But maybe they all went home that night because that was the finale. Like, we don't see anything after.
No, maybe they all went home in vans. Like, they just could all drink and have fun and everything.
Sounds about right.
Maybe.
So then at the Dallas party, oh, Jesus, they do armadillo racing.
Oh, God.
I can't believe this show takes place in the same country I live in. Like, this is a these women have a totally different experience than anything that I've ever even thought about doing.
Well, imagine how I feel. Imagine if people like this used to own people that you come from.
Oh, God.
Imagine that.
So then Brandy pulls Stephanie aside, and this was another part that made me uncomfortable. She, like, served her champagne that was set up in a private little section, and she confesses her love for her and tells her, thank you for being such a great friend. She gives her the champagne and a ring.
A parting gift.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was strange. That was very much like,
thank you for playing.
Yeah, come follow me with the camera while I tell my friend how much I love her for supporting me. But it didn't really work. I mean, for me, it didn't.
Yeah, no, me neither. Now that Quinn said parting gift, do you think that Brandy knows this is her last season? So that was, she wanted to like end this episode on a good note?
Probably.
Very possible.
So that is the end of the episode. So then we get our end cards and we find out Stephanie still decorates lockers. Cam likes pink. Tiffany took her girls Bigfoot hunting. And then we get into some of the heavier ones. Deandra's stepmother and brother still won't see her. Carrie's marriage is complicated. And like we mentioned before, Brandy's dog died and she was 16 weeks pregnant when she was rolling down these steps.
Wow.
These cards certainly took a turn.
Yeah. My favorite was like the really like dramatic freeze when Brandy's husband kissed her.
Oh, yeah. Because she thanks him for being so great. And then we get like a foreboding black and white freeze frame, which I feel like they should have just cut to, because sometimes if this was like a regular episode and not the finale, I feel like they would have done that and then showed like a flash to something that proved or like goes against it. So I think they just should have showed a clip from the reunion after that.
Yeah, that was strange. That freeze frame was almost like, if it had been a sentence in a book, it would have been italicized.
Yeah.
It was weird. Exactly it was weird. I have a question. How many babies has Brandy birthed?
Three.
This is the third.
This is the third one.
And then she has the son that they adopted.
Now, I am not a mother. It felt odd to me that Brandy wouldn't know she was pregnant 4 months into a pregnancy.
We're about halfway done there.
She wouldn't have gotten her period for 4 months.
Right.
Like nothing stood out to her. I don't mean to judge, but I intend it.
So you're proposing that she may have known she was pregnant and was still drinking.
Oh.
And rolling down the steps.
No, I'm just like, is she really that dim? Strange. Mm-hmm. Again, not a mother.
No kidding.
I never took her to be like dumb. Like if this happened to Cam, I would be like, okay. But Brandy, I just thought was like trash.
Sorry.
And I was like, you're white, honey. Deal with that. 25th anniversary of The Craft.
Oh my God.
Everybody. That's one of my favorite
Love the Craft.
Lines from that movie ever.
Man, no. How about the scene in the trailer where the mom is screaming at the dad and Nancy's trying to block it out? She's like, yeah, you and your fucking.
I love that scene. She's like, her brother's like, drunk. I gave you the money. You told me you pay the bill.
Yes.
What are you so good for? Good. You know what I'm good for. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I did not know the dialogue.
I do.
But that was great. Somebody does.
Man, no.
He's everywhere. He's in everything.
My favorite part I'm not allowed to say, so we'll just skip over it.
Should I go ahead? Oh my God, there's a pubic hair in my brush. Oh no, I'm wrong. It's one of Rochelle's little nappy hairs. Donnie.
Now, the line is problematic, but I just love Christine Taylor so
he
much.
Likes her racist. Oh, now, I can tell you that I found that when I first heard that,
when
I
she
burst
does that?
Out laughing. I couldn't believe she said that. Like, I was surprised seeing that. So, Donnie.
Oh, my God. Does it stream anywhere? I have to watch it now.
I think it's on
something.
He doesn't know. He's just going to name something.
No, I think it's on Prime. Amazon Prime. I'm not sure, though.
Anyway.
Know that is sponsored by Amazon.
And The Craft.
Oh, God. And Rochelle's little nappy hairs.
Man, no.
Well, that's the end of Dallas.
That's the end of a lot of shit.
Let's head over to Atlanta.
Let's go over to this reunion, quote unquote, This is some of the most boring content I've seen on television in a long time. But we
that guy off. Michelle tried to set Teresa up with probably watches this to go to bed.
We start off with this Kenya and Latoya sexual energy bisexual relationship thing, which seemed to me, I like I said before, I applaud these women for being so sexually open, because I am not used to women, groups of Black women, straight Black women who identify as straight, being this open about sexual fluidity. So I say good for them. That's great.
Definitely.
I am so weirded out, though, with the idea of Kenya being in a same-sex relationship. Now, I want to say why. Everybody has the right to live their truth, of course. But I feel that Kenya having a sexual relationship with Latoya at this stage in her life is a bit dangerous. Kenya walks the line between being evil and just being shady. I don't know if I can handle watching Kenya act the way she acts with another woman in a relationship. Mm. I don't know. I feel like that would be like Armageddon, because the way she goes after women, like she kind of bows down to men, unfortunately. That's not what would happen with her in a relationship with a woman. She would be Mark Daly. So this is difficult concept for me to wrap my head around.
Well, I don't think we're ever
going to. Not that that's what's going on here. That's what I mean. Not that that's where this is going. But still, I feel like I'm seeing it as a possibility, like in a what do you call it? Like a what if episode or a multiverse Kenya thing. But so they're talking about their relationship and or whatever, the flirting part of it. I don't want to hear about this. Not because of whatever reason, but I don't find it interesting. Like, you haven't had sex. What are we doing?
The whole reunion, I felt, was like this. Like, it was when you were trying to make the outline for this episode, you were just listing, and it's not your fault, you were just listing things that were already talked about throughout the season. So we've already talked about it too. And that's how this, they didn't bring any new information either of these episodes, really. Like, there's a little stuff at the end of this reunion where they kind of like, Cynthia brings some new information about her stuff, and then Marlo brings some new information about her stuff. But overall, they're just like rehashing the same fights they already had. And it's very, it wasn't fun to watch the first time.
One quick thing about Kenya and her supposed interest in lesbianism, unrelated to that.
Sapphic. But
Kenya getting into a relationship with Latoya at this stage in her life would, for me, err on the side of midlife crisis in the same way that a straight man getting his ear pierced would in his 50s. Do you know what I mean? Like, they signal the same thing for me, which would be trouble.
All I can hear was Bette Midler. I'm like, Morty, what's next? A parrot?
Morty, what's next? A pirate? What are you?
All of a sudden, I'm a big drag. I'm holding him back because I won't go rollerblading.
The best. Oh, my God. The best.
I agree with that. That would be a midlife crisis thing. I don't know how many people live to be over 100, but it could be a midlife crisis thing for her.
And then on this reunion, I was just bored shitless. And I've never felt that way about an Atlanta reunion before. Like, I've always thought, like, I will watch these women do anything. But I guess that's not true anymore. But this is the first year I felt that way. I don't know if the stories they have to work with aren't great. It's an odd, I will say, I'll give them this was a fucking weird year. So, like,
yeah.
It kind of exists in its own little bubble. They just all seem so uninterested. Like, I know Andy was pressing the, like, madam, mistress, is it okay if I go to the package a little bit? But even Candy was like, sure. Like, no one had it in them to give energy.
Yeah.
You know?
What would my name be? Lord.
Oh, God.
What would Andy's name be?
She says Silver Bullet.
Silver Bullet.
What did I say it would be? Water gun full of piss. I don't know. I think that it is definitely boring. It was a whole boring thing. So we go from that, and then we go into Drew and Latoya and their infamous feud And then LaToya says something that is probably the most interesting thing that could be said, but then it's not true, when she says that you cheated on your husband with me because they had a kiss. Now, I don't know how many people would constitute kissing somebody else's like cheating. I know some people would, but I feel like that's a, like, I was under the impression like they slept together. And I'm like, oh, you just had like a girl kiss? Like,
yeah, I hope Chelsea's not listening, but I feel like LaToya just tries to make sound bites.
I want better for her. I don't really, but I kind of do. Like, I, like Chelsea said, I enjoy watching her, think she's doing something great and she's not. Like, I do think that's I do think that's funny. I mean, it's a nice change of events from seeing like a white person, a white guy do it, think they're better than they are. But this was just like, we really need something like this. So now you're just like teasing us. Like, this reunion needed a moment like that.
Yeah.
That's like, no.
I think this is where I will pat ourselves and Bravo viewers on the back, because I feel like we can tell when something doesn't feel authentic. And this, and very little of what we saw in this reunion, felt authentic. You can just, you know, when it doesn't feel right. And I enjoyed Dallas more this season than I did Atlanta. And I just never thought
that was possible.
That would be the case.
Me too.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
I agree. I even liked the episode of Dallas that aired this week better than the Atlanta reunion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So far.
Oh, definitely.
And that is also insane. We can, let's jump to Kenya bringing Brooklyn and her defense of people who not being able to bring their kid by telling Candy that, you know, she arranged to have a dick in a box come, that she could have arranged to have her kid there if she wanted her to have her kid there. But then we learned something that's new to me, at least I learned, that production previously said they didn't want kids on trips, which totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So what do we feel about, we've already discussed bringing kids. Like you said, we've already discussed all this shit. We've discussed bringing kids. But how do we feel about production saying, leave your little crumb
snackers at home? Well, it makes sense as to why they didn't feel comfortable bringing them then. Like, suddenly it made sense why they didn't just think to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, gosh. I can't decide. I really can't decide, because if this was any other work, like, kids aren't just a given in any work environment. So I can't really figure out how to take that logic and place it here. But I guess the difference, of course, would be if, like, is it up to production? Was it up to production to tell everyone that their kids could come? Or was it up to Kenya to say, hey, I know this used to be the case, but it's not the case this time. I'm bringing Brooklyn. Like, I can't decide what I think.
Well, I would, like I said before, I don't think she, I think because of March, she had to bring Brooklyn. Hmm. Like, I really believe that. And this makes me think that even more, since there was like kind of a rule they weren't supposed to.
Right.
So I think the cast was looking like, well, now you're breaking the rule.
But she had no choice.
And even though they wouldn't have done it, I think it's just the fact that you think the rules don't apply to you. And given that it's Kenya on top of that, that's going to make people say something out of the side of their face, even if they wouldn't do it themselves.
Yeah, I think Kenya had to bring her. And she probably told production, like, I'm either bringing Brooklyn or I'm not coming. So I think her having that amount of power is probably what pissed some of them off too.
And I will say that power for her extended to the reunion, because if there was one person that I found myself liking the energy they were bringing, or they seemed engaged, I'm really enjoying watching Kenya at the reunion. Like, it might be a DJ Rosé situation, but I guess I just, for better or worse, love Kenya, because I always find her compelling. I laughed out loud when Andy said Jizzy from North Carolina and Kenya said not Jizzy. I watched it twice. I loved it.
She's like Bethany. She's terrible, but you love watching her do it.
Yeah
She's compelling. All the greats are Nini, Ramona.
True.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it takes to like have that, or to be like a, you know, all-star housewife. I don't know. So we go from that to everybody dumping on Cynthia, which I think was very deserved for her sticking to 10-10-20. And I love when he asked if anybody else would do it, and everybody looked and were like, no. And then Candy felt nice and was like, oh yeah, if I was that hung up on that date. When they all were like, no.
I don't think I don't think Candy was being nice. I think she would have done it because she, I remember being uncomfortable by her social media because she went out a lot during COVID.
Perhaps. But like going out a lot, like doing stuff, like arguing about Chick-fil-A and all that stuff is like different than like having a 200.
Yeah, but I mean, Candy went to like big parties. I really don't think she cared.
Oh, maybe not then. I don't follow Candy that way. So I'll take your word for it that she was doing all that.
I would love to hear a little bit more, like not to take the heat off of her, but I want to know, did Cynthia feel like her job was on the line this season if she didn't deliver the story that she would have proposed before they went into filming? That was, I'm going to get married this year. And then is she thinking, if I don't get married, am I cut to part-time? Do I not get a certain salary? Again, I'm not like offering those as factors as to why the wedding should have happened, but I feel like there's an area that's not being talked about that I wish we just could just completely tear down the fourth wall and talk about that. And if Cynthia can't talk about it, then she just, I don't know. Not that it makes the wedding okay, but I would like more context out on the table.
Absolutely.
I had not considered that because Cynthia's story is threadbare, to say the least. So that could be the fact of it. But another thing that came out that I was actually kind of like, damn, to hear was that Mike's daughter didn't go to the wedding.
Yeah. That was shocking.
So considering the last time that we saw her and her leaving distraught when Mike was recounting his sexual escapades, because I'm assuming that's the daughter that
I think
know.
So. Yeah.
Because he has two daughters, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I was like, and then I love Kenya's reaction when Cynthia said, I wasn't told that she didn't go because of me, that I had anything to do with it. That wasn't told to me. And Kenya like looked like, well, what else could it be? So that, for me, that sums up Cynthia really as a whole. Like, there's no problem unless you say there's a problem. I'm not going to do any deductive reasoning to figure out. That's just it.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with me. So that was interesting. Of course, which I think we all saw coming, she says she's not going to speak about her father on the show anymore. I think after the PSA about him, like, domestic violence on her mother and everything that was said by her mother afterwards, I think that's kind of a smart move.
For the best.
Yeah. So she said, like, what did she say exactly? Like, because of all of that, I decided it's best not to talk about him on the show.
Shit, there might have been paperwork done.
That's what I was thinking. Like, did he tell you, like, legally you can't say anything else? Yeah, that was interesting. But probably my favorite part of the entire reunion was the reel of Candy and Portia's friendship, which gave me a little warm glow inside, as Portia tends to do whenever I see her.
That was nice. It was a longer montage, but it was like a welcome reprieve from the reunion. It was good.
Something that we actually cared about.
Yeah. I was compelled by footage I've seen before, but I was compelled by it. Altogether, it was nice. It was like on a journey. I also love, I will never get sick of when Candy freaks out and stands up and storms off at the reunion with Phaedra and Sheree goes, oh my God. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh my God.
Love it.
That is great. I do love that too. That clip never gets old to me. So let's see, what do we have here? It was
a slog.
it was a cornucopia of nothing. So we have the dungeon party, and they talk about that, of course. So I'm guessing Bolo will probably be coming out in the next episode. They talk about that. Then there's like this coffee table talk about, and the clip that they show with LaToya and Portia, with LaToya's hands all over Portia's ass. And what do we think happened exactly here? Like, I feel like if anybody really had sex, I mean, besides obviously Tanya. Tanya clearly has sex with Bolo. Tanya fled to Canada like there was a draft going on. She is gone. But I think
they brought her up. I forgot she existed.
That's how gone she was.
Yeah.
That's how gone she was or is. That's incredible. I think that LaToya and Portia did something more than we know.
It's very possible. And God bless them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, hey, that's fine. But I do think that's what happened. And then, but that even talking about that was kind of like blah.
That's I'm almost mad we have to like talk about it.
Yeah, there's like, really nothing. What? I'm doing the best I can with the material I have here, folks.
Of course.
I know you're doing amazing, sweetie. But
and then there's the elephant in the room moment with Marlo, where she proposes that there's something going on, like the problems with her and Portia, and now she's like suspiciously friendly with Candy, and now Candy's her best friend, and she thinks that somebody has some dirt on somebody. Now, I feel that the friendship between Portia and Candy has been slowly moving this way for a while. Like, it's not something new.
Yeah.
And agreed. Candy's not dumb. So, like, even if this was... And I also think Candy has said in, like, on the show and in her confessionals that she did hear something. And she does think that Portia is lying. She just doesn't want to get into it. So, like, after seeing all those episodes, for Marlo to come here and say, like, she's only your friend because Candy has dirt on you. Candy's made it known that she heard something in that, like, it's, she's not being quiet about it, whether Portia's her friend or not.
Yeah. Also, the stuff with Marlo, I like Marlo. It's almost like a really bad game of, oh my God, what's it called when you make up things as you go along?
Whisper down the lane or telephone?
Improv. Oh. Improv. It's like a really bad game of improv because I feel like you have people like Marlo and LaToya who are trying to do improv and they're like, let's make a good show. And they're bringing something and they're saying, I thought you da 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 da, let's create something. And the women who are supposed to react to that, respectively for LaToya, Drew, and for Marlo, Portia, they're not playing. They're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. And it's almost like they're shutting it down. So as a viewer, we're lost because we don't know, like, we have some women who are trying to dig deep to create sparks, but then the other women are backing away. And it's like a start and stall, stop kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. And the women that are trying to do the improv are the ones without the peach. So I think they're like doing things to get peaches where these other women kind of know they're safe.
Yeah.
So they're like, we'll talk about what I want to talk about.
Yeah. Portia doesn't have to lower herself. And I'm saying this in terms of what she might think to deal with what Marlo's saying, because the only person who wins from that is Marlo.
Right.
But what I wish she would understand is I'm actually interested to hear what happened there. Cause I liked their friendship.
Yeah.
So when Portia's saying she knows what she did, well, can you talk about it? Like I want them to talk about it, but Portia ends up being closed off. But as a viewer, it's unsatisfying.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a coincidence, or the irony's not lost on me, I guess, that she's in the Nene seat doing almost the same thing Nene did.
Agreed. Like stonewalling.
Yeah.
That is true. So I feel like Portia was the new Kenya as far as Marlo was concerned with all the insults. And I guess that's going to be their dynamic now. Now she's friends with Marlo. I'm sorry, now Marlo's friends with Kenya. So now Portia's the new Kenya, and we don't have a clear idea of why.
Yeah, nothing is clear to me. I feel like the show did not do a good job making the women do a good job of explaining why the dynamics are the way they are. The only thing I'm clear on is that Shamia's name does not have an L in it.
Shamia.
Shamil.
Shamazel.
Yeah, when Marlo called Shamia the mascot, I was done. I was done. Those was fighting words.
I am still trying to wrap my head around how I feel about Shamia's David Bowie labyrinth outfit.
Oh, I love it.
It's definitely something to feast your eyes on.
It's a whole meal.
Going back a little bit, sorry. I know we don't want to talk about this anymore, but
we don't.
For me, a reunion should be to either clarify what we don't know or to get us to the next season. And this reunion, they're just like stewing in what we've already been in. Like, this is not setting up a next season, nor is it explaining to me things I didn't know about this season. So it's almost like three episodes of unnecessary.
It's like just a previously on. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also,
there's no deep dive. There's nothing.
It's so weird because I know a reunion is as good as the season. That's not really true, but like, that's what they're working off of. But to think that this cast delivered, or most of this cast delivered, an incredible virtual reunion last year. That was like one of the highlights of the pandemic for me, was the Atlanta reunion. It's so weird to see how poor this one is.
This fall from grace.
Yeah.
That's what I this agree. Is. This is a fall from grace.
I agree.
Well, that does it for Atlanta, thankfully. So
until next week.
I'll toss it back to you, Anthony.
Sure. Okay, let's do some final thoughts. Donnie, let's start with you. Final Ooh. Thoughts for anything we discussed tonight or otherwise.
You mentioned it already, so I'm kind of taking your like already said thought and molding it into a final thought. But Dallas was stronger than Atlanta was this season. And I know Dallas has the lowest ratings, lower than some of the ones that were already canceled had at the time. But I think if Bravo's willing to give both of them a shot, I think if they tweak Atlanta and tweak Dallas, we could have something great with both, because we've had something great with both.
Yeah, I agree. My final thought is that Atlanta really needs to find a leader. They need to find a leader, and they need to get some storylines going that we can relate to or that we care about. I know the pandemic limited a lot of what they could do, but I feel the loss of Nene. I feel the loss of Sheree. I feel the loss of a lot of like anchor housewives. And I feel like because of that, Atlanta's just drifted out to sea. I think maybe it even would have been different if Kenya wasn't dealing with her divorce, because I don't think Kenya can really be present. Like, I don't feel like she could deliver the way she might have been able to, or the way they hoped that she would without Nene there. So now I feel like they're just blowing in the wind, and they need to do something about that ASAP.
Yeah, because when Nene was gone before, we had Kenya, but Kenya was able to be that alpha, whereas now they just all kind of blend together.
Agreed. And my final thought is just going to be like a co-signing of both of your final thoughts and say Atlanta can come back stronger than ever. We've seen other cities that I thought were at their lowest point. I'm thinking specifically about New Jersey that I didn't think could come back. I'm talking about the season with the twins, Amber Marchese and Dina's return, which was a disgusting low point. And I never thought that we'd have the show that we have now. So it's possible. I still don't understand why we lost Sheree, but we need her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do miss Nene. I miss the humor. I miss her. I miss someone giving us something. Like, even when I didn't like that Nene was spitting on people, I still liked how much I responded to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that my final thought is Atlanta will be back. It just needs some time to cook, I guess. But also, Bravo, take a hard eye at these people. It's okay to trim some fat. I think we're done with Cynthia. I think we're good. Her first season was, obviously, these are some of my final thoughts. Her story started with a wedding. And it ended with a wedding. We've done that. Let's get rid of her. Maybe it's time for Candy to move on. I like Candy, but maybe it's time.
Yeah, especially if she's getting this spinoff that's like Vanderpumpy. So yeah. she can be in charge of that.
Yeah, but I have faith. I mean, Atlanta has been so strong for so long. Its worst season can't represent it. So it'll be back. And we didn't talk about it during the coverage of New Jersey, but I just want to say one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on any of these shows is when the women were talking about the first time they had sex with their husband, and they were discussing, you know, what the husband said and what the vibe was afterwards. And Marge said that the first time she had sex with her husband, he said he had to go home and shower so his wife didn't smell it. And then proceeded to high five another woman as Jackie, someone who had a whole storyline this season about a potential affair, belly laughed as though it was the funniest mm-hmm. thing in the world. Marge is trash. Know that. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to support the show, be sure to visit buymeacoffee.com/knowthatpod. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Know That Pod.
You can follow me, Anthony, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Real Donnywood on Instagram and Twitter.
And you can find me, Quinn, at Quentin Lamar on Twitter. Continue to listen and subscribe for free to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.